Lesson number 33, Mystery Babylon. Lesson number 33, Mystery Babylon. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Again, what are we doing? We are gathering all the doctrinal evidence from Genesis to Revelation, identifying the mother. We have seen her from the garden on, and it appeals to the lust of man's flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh. We have seen that all of the doctrine starts to show you how she worked in the Old Testament, and all the subtlety and bewitching and beguiling and images. And we see when we came to the New Testament how she's transferred all of that beguiling into a false religious system that is now mixed with government. That is how she can rule the world. And that's how she reigns over the kings of the earth. Okay? Well, John chapter 10, we're going to gather some more evidence. John chapter 10, look at verse 19. John 10, 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" The false religious system run by the mother is run by Satan, the adversary, will say that real Bible teachers are mad, that they're of Satan. They will say it every time. Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" So look at the division. Now watch verse 22. "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him," now look at this, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." He's already done that. "Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not." How many times has that happened to you when you're dealing with the mother's children and the mother's false religious system? You tell them truth and they don't believe, and they ask you the same question. "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And by the way, we are not sheep today. You are members of the shepherd's flesh and of his bones. This is a specific reference to the nation of Israel. The church, the body of Christ today, are actually in Christ. You are not sheep, okay? If you're a sheep with a shepherd, that means you're outside of the shepherd, okay? You have something far greater under grace. So don't be going to get your eternal security out of the Gospel of John. That's wrong. I'll show you why. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Verse 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Now watch this. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Do you understand the difference in eternal security in the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel today in the grace of God? If the eternal security, "neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Okay? You're in Christ now. You're not just in his hand and no one can pluck you out. That's eternal security for them. You have something greater, something better. You are actually in Christ, members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So far greater today. Verse 29, "My Father which gave them me," and that is a trick of the mother, by the way, to get you back just in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, thinking that's where you get all your doctrine today. You see that? Verse 29, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Same principle. "I and my Father are one." Let me show you something since I've said it. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Watch this under grace today. 1 Thessalonians 1:1. "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ." And then you're sealed with God the Holy Spirit. What would you rather have? Under grace today, it's far greater. You see what I mean? How when preachers just stay in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there are some beautiful things in there, and when we get there to teach them verse by verse in the doctrine, you'll see the great things that you'll be able to pull out of the passages and apply them to your lives, but you have to first learn the doctrine that God would have you learn for today by following his establishment commandment. You see, that's how they rest the scriptures, because they don't rightly divide. Verse 29, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Watch this. Watch how the Lord gets them. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? You notice the little subtlety there? When the Lord Jesus Christ says, Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law? And it is, ye are gods. But notice he says, Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, comma, I said, ye are gods? He says that he said that back to them in the Psalms when that is written. You see that? They didn't even catch it. Phew, right over their heads. Okay, that's a great one. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I said, ye are gods. Well, yes. And then he goes back to verse 35. If he called them gods. You see that? They didn't even get it. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. By the way, verse 34 and 35 is the Bible's definition of scripture. Verse 34 says, it's written in your law. Verse 35 says, it's the word of God, and it's the scripture. Okay? So the scripture is the written word of God. That's what it means. All right, that's why here at the Scriptures Alone Bible School, we use just the scriptures. Why would you want to use other books anyways? He called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. It can't. No matter how much the heretics try, no matter all the fury of Satan through the mother unto all her little minions and all her little doctrines of devils, it doesn't happen. I have the book. Here it is. Right here. Perfect and pure. Not broken. No error. No mistakes. Perfect. Thank you, Lord. All right. Verse 36. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. See, they wouldn't even understand the prophecies he's talking about. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. Notice, the false religious system run by the mother is going to always be pushed to the point when you use truth to push them. The words of the wise are as goads. It sticks them. And how forcible are right words, Job says. They just get to the point where they want to kill you. They want to lay hands on you and kill you because they want to shut you up that bad. All right, John chapter 11. Let's gather some more evidence regarding the mother. John chapter 11, look at verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, Whenever the mother's religious leaders gather a council meeting, look out. And said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. Like, that's a bad thing. Notice what the mother will do. The Lord Jesus Christ is doing many miracles for reasons of good. Giving the blind sight, making the deaf hear, making the dumb to speak, casting out demons, feeding people, teaching them truth. Well, these wonderful miracles, raising the dead. Lazarus, he just raised Lazarus. And then they want to kill him. That's what the mother does. All right, look at verse 48. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. Now that was their fatal error. Don't they understand? Leave him alone. We're going to see that in Acts, where Gamaliel stands up and says, Listen, about the apostles, if this work be of men, don't worry about it. It'll come to naught. So there's some good advice for all of you heretics out there who are such in a frenzy of what I'm teaching, as Christ in me teaches mightily his book. Don't worry about it. If it's just a work of man, if I'm just some nut, don't worry about it. It's going to come to naught. The very fact that they hated so much tells you, just like the mother hated truth. verse 48, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. What kind of reasoning is that? What do you mean the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation? You goof, mentally deranged people. You people are under Roman rule. You're absolutely insane. All right, chapter 12. Chapter 12, look at verse 19. 12. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceived how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. The religious leaders are starting to get the hint that they were prevailing nothing because the world has gone after him. You notice how when Christ teaches, same thing happens today, okay, through the internet. In just 3 short months, there's people in way over 40 countries rejoicing over this truth. You see, because people are hungry for truth, aren't they? You believers know. You love the Bible. You wanted to know truth. It's just things weren't organized, and now you're getting it. And of course, Satan hates it. He hates it. Verse 42, the same chapter, John chapter 12, verse 42. Look at this. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Remember, Romans 10 truth. The Jews back then had to confess, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Here is what the mother accomplishes in her false religious system. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. You notice the illustrations, how the heretic Phelps, how he puts on his little article, and he gets some preacher from Chicago, calls him Dr. So-and-so, who praises Eric Phelps. You see, they like the accolades of their own peers. They want to get praise among themselves. They don't seek the honor that comes from God only. They can't just calmly sit there with this book and believe it. You know, believe you me, I don't care who likes what I teach. I don't care if all of you love it. I don't care if all of you hate it. I am excited and thrilled and praise the Lord for the ones who love it. But if you ask me honestly, do I care if you love it? In the sense of, I care that you love it. Yes, there's a big difference. Once you love truth, I care very much about that you love truth. But I don't care. In other words, no one else holds the cards. Nobody else makes me say, well, I sure hope they love it, so I better preach it in a nice way so they get it. I speak the truth in love. The first key to that is speaking the truth. The greatest demonstration that anybody on this earth could ever show in loving you is to tell you the truth. Tell you the truth. You got it? Okay. Okay, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I seek one day to just have my Savior when I face him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, that's it. Don't care about anybody else. Okay, John 18. John 18. John 18, look at verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. What do you think you were getting, Al Capone? Verse 15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Vatican City has a palace where their high priest lives. Are you making a connection? Show me the palace in the city of Rome where the high priest lives. In the city of Rome. Sorry, doesn't fit now, does it? No, but in Vatican City there is a palace. You see that? Verse 28, same chapter. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Oh my gosh, the mother system. Lest they be defiled. They don't want to go in there so they can eat the Passover, but they're killing the Son of God. I can remember growing up in the Roman Catholic Church, which today is the Mother's Church. I can remember growing up there, and I can't even tell you how many times as a young child, Brother Marco Antonio Ponce, I'm trying to eradicate the word kid in reference to young human beings, unless they're Satan kids. But in a sense, I was a kid because I was Satan's child, okay? So I can remember sitting in the Roman Catholic Church, and I can't tell you about how I would see people in confession. And I would hear about people all the time. You hang out with Catholics, that's all you hang out with, is Roman Catholic friends and families and everything. And some of the people in the outfit up there, which you guys know is the Mafia, but it's called the Outfit in Chicago, they would be going to church. And I know for a fact that what they had just done during the week, this is when I got older as a policeman. I knew what they were doing. And then they're in the Roman Catholic Church on Sundays. And that, it's the same thing. All right, John. Now, anyways, of course, the false religious system crucifies the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've come to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now put your thinking caps on and watch this. The mother has killed the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, working through the mother, which is that false religious system, delivers him up to the government. Pontius Pilate pronounces death sentence. Now we're going to get into the book of Acts, and you're going to start to see a transition. And you're going to start to see Satan scurry greatly when the Apostle Paul shows up on the scene. Okay, Acts chapter 4. Now remember, we're just pulling out doctrine that's specific to the mother. Now in Acts chapter 4, what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ has sent the 12 out. This is in that first year still. He sends the 12 out to offer unto the nation of Israel a second chance. He prays at Calvary, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Israel gets that second chance, and through the 12, Peter leading the 12, a second chance of repentance as a nation, as a whole. And they start teaching the people this. But what happened in that first year? We're going to see what happens. They fall then in the stoning of Stephen. They did not fall at the cross. You read those lessons. Listen to the lessons on the website. And that reminds me, by the way, our new website, the old one's still up, but that will be diminishing over times ahead. Everybody needs to go to the new website, tsabibleschool.com. tsabibleschool.com. That stands for the scriptures alone, bibleschool.com. You can find all of the lessons there continuing on. Lessons 56 through 60 have been put up. And the truth continues on in audio form, and they're in podcast. Brother Marco Ponce has done a phenomenal job, so you can listen on podcast form. You can subscribe to podcasts. All this stuff I'm talking about, I don't even know what it is. But he knows, and maybe you know. But you get these things then automatically. You can listen on your phones. I can even listen on my BlackBerry. It's phenomenal. So it's there for you. So I really strongly suggest getting teeth. Now remember, when we're done with Mystery Babylon, where we're coming pretty close to the end, maybe we'll be finished in a week. I will start this school here on YouTube from lesson one forward in video form. Because some folks just don't go there. I don't know why. Some folks are just visual, I suppose. All right. So that way the school will be running actually in three places. On Skype when we have our fellowship. That's well into school. We're in the book of Galatians now. The audio lessons on TSA Bible School. And of course here on YouTube. We'll start over. So it's running in three places. So hopefully, if Satan knocks out two, it's still going somewhere. All right. Acts chapter 4. Watch now that the mother system of false religious leaders, what they're then going to do to the apostles after the Lord Jesus Christ ascends back up to heaven after he instructs his apostles for 40 days. Okay? Acts chapter 4. Let's look at verse 1. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people. Notice that. They are grieved. The mother system will be grieved when truth is being taught by proper teachers. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest. Look at the connection there. Kindred of the high priest. Look at the connections because of family relationships were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked. Now, can you imagine this scene? Right in the middle of all of the mother's leaders, they put the apostles and asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Oh, I love this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, watch this, whom ye crucified. Notice, Peter does not preach Calvary as good tidings here, glad tidings of good things. He does not, does he? No. Calvary is not glad tidings of good things. He condemns the listeners, and he's been doing it since Acts 2. He condemns the listening Jewish audience with the murder of Jesus Christ. So it's not glad tidings till you get to Paul. That's part of mystery truth. Whom ye crucified in the middle of verse 10 now, whom God raised from the dead. Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Look at this great verse. Neither is there salvation in any other. You remember that. There is salvation today for all men, women, and accountable children of an age on this planet through one person. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else. No Muhammad, no Pope, no Buddha, no anybody. You got it? One person. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven. Under heaven. Are y'all living under heaven? I think so. Okay? You're under heaven. Neither, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now that's from God's viewpoint. As far as God Almighty, the God of heaven and earth, is concerned, there's only one name under heaven that's given among men whereby we must be saved. And it's the name of his Son, the great Lord Jesus Christ, the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. You got it? That's it. So I don't care what else you may think. Now look at when you preach truly, this is going to be God Almighty's commentary. You see, you don't have to get the commentaries of men. Read God's commentary on this. Because they don't say this. They don't speak this. This is very important for you to see. God is so wonderful, he lets you into the privy councils and thought chambers of men. And he tells you what went on in their minds. Even though they don't acknowledge it publicly, the false religious system of the mother. But watch verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They didn't have their degrees. They didn't go to Bible college. They didn't go to seminary. They didn't go to Gulf Coast Bible Institute, where they got to get their degree in theology. You know who I'm talking about. Okay? They marveled. See that? Watch this. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, you're saying, well, and you're a believer now. You say, well, I don't know if I can't do that because Jesus sits at the right hand of God today. Oh, yes, you can. Let me show you something in Ephesians. Go with me to Ephesians. When the Apostle Paul writes this to the Ephesians, now, there is no doctrinal evidence at all that any Gentile at Ephesus was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on the planet learning. There's no doctrinal evidence in the scriptures at all about that. But watch this. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul went to Ephesus, led those people to salvation, and established a church there, remained 3 years with them, and then Timothy goes there and leads them. But watch this. Look what he says in chapter 4, verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. He says this to the Ephesians. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. Look at this. As the truth is in Jesus. Wait a minute. Paul tells the Ephesians they heard Christ and they were taught by Christ. As the truth is in Jesus. Guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ had been already seated at the right hand of God the Father for 20 years. 25 years when Paul wrote that. And he's even if you go back to when Paul was there, he says you heard him and you were taught by him. How can that be? Well, Galatians 1 says it pleased God to reveal his Son in Paul. When the Apostle Paul showed up, it was Christ in Paul teaching them. Same thing today. Real Bible teachers will be established in the faith because as an established believer, rooted and grounded strongly in him and in the doctrine, you will see Christ's life again on the planet, live through their flesh. That's God's eternal purpose. So, you got his book, And listen, it is very simple. So they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Go back to Acts. That's phenomenal to me. You see that? Even so, God lets us know what these evil unbelievers were thinking. I think it's great. Verse 14 now. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, all right, so they kick him out of the meeting. They say, hey, we got to talk. Look at verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people. Why would you not want that to spread? See, the mother doesn't want this truth spreading. You remember that. And the mother will do everything she can in her power through false religion that's infected every Protestant church out there by name. Every single one. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Here they go again. You think they'd learn. For we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. They're going to threaten them now. Woo-hoo-hoo. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God. No, I'm sorry. I skipped verse 18. Verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Don't you love it? Don't you love that? But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. What he's saying there is so perfect. I say to people all the time, who should I listen to? You or the Bible? Okay? Same thing. You know? Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, see, they didn't like that answer, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Now, that right there is the mother very subtly revealing unto you, and God is revealing unto you, the mother's revealing through her children, God is telling you the commentary. Watch closely, finding nothing how they might punish them. You see, it threw the mother for a loop there, that such life would be in the apostles. So the mother didn't know what to do. So she just kicks them out. Because of the people. You see that? They didn't know how to punish them because of the people. You see, the mother is always trying to please people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. What a great meeting that would have been. I would have loved to have been there. All right. Phenomenal passage. Now look at Acts chapter 6. Now still, Satan in Acts chapter 6 here. Now what time is it? All right, perfect. In Acts chapter 6, Satan still knows what's going on. Everything you're reading is according to the prophetic program. So he's not been tricked yet. He hasn't had mystery truth revealed unto him. So the mother's plan is functioning all according to what Satan started in the garden. He knew this was all coming. Acts chapter 6, look at verse 9. Acts chapter 6, verse 9. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred... Liars! The mother will lie about you. And they stirred up the people and the elders. That's exactly what the heretic Phelps tried to do. You see, I privately emailed him and told him he was a heretic. Okay? Then I publicly identified him. He then stirred the pot. And all it did is bring more of his followers to truth. The ones who were looking for it. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. You lying heathens. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face that had been the face of an angel. Now, again, I emphasize strongly, go to the lessons, especially lessons 49 on the audio all the way up to 60. You will see this is taught in detail here about the stoning of Stephen and how important that was. Now, for our subject at hand, Stephen starts to go through Israel's history. Let's now go to Acts chapter 7. Look at verse 37 at the end of this great speech. Now watch this. Acts 7, verse 37. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them. And in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, talking about Moses, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idols, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech, he's quoting the Old Testament, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. By the way, that star of their god Remphan, this star, don't think for one second that on the nation Israel's flag right now, the Star of David, has anything to do with Bible doctrine. That's something they made up. Okay? That's theirs. It has nothing to do with it. No six-pointed star in the scriptures. Okay? Verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses. It's still Stephen getting them. It's God Almighty through Stephen, the Holy Spirit doing it, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles. I thought it was Joshua. Don't listen to the stupid commentaries that tell you that's a mistake in the King James Bible, verse 45. It should read Joshua. No. Who brought Joshua in? It was that rock that followed him in the wilderness. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do you think went in there? You think Joshua kicked all that butt because they were just all of a sudden instant experts at war? Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him in house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Now, this is extremely important to get. Extremely important to get. Understand something now. The religious leaders here are so at the point of explosion. Remember, for this one-year time period, the apostles had been offered, Peter had offered the kingdom again to Israel, had given them a chance to repent. They had turned it down thus far. So now you have Stephen, who's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he is speaking to them. And then this is not going to be a chance to get the kingdom offered to them. God Almighty is done with Israel. They stumbled at Calvary. They did not fall at Calvary because Christ prayed for them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They stumble here with the killing of Stephen, we're going to see. This is where, I'm sorry, they fell here with the killing of Stephen. They fall right here in Acts 7, and they diminish away all the way down to Acts chapter 28 over those years ahead. Now, the important thing for this subject at hand, the mother, watch what their religious system run by the mother does to some person filled with the Holy Spirit telling them the truth. Watch it. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye, that's the leaders of Israel, the false religious system, the system run by the mother, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. The false religious system run by the mother betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ through Judas and then murdered him as they mixed religion with government. Look at that. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Now watch their wonderful, beautiful, gracious response. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Why? Why were they cut to the heart? Right here. Your heart's your mind, Jeremiah 7 says in Jeremiah 19. Your heart's your mind. Why? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That book reads you. And when that book was coming out of Stephen's mouth, whew, caught him, wham, right to the heart. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Do you know what that means? Gnashed on them, on him, with their teeth. That's not just biting them, biting Stephen. They weren't just going up going, ow, in one bite. They were taking Stephen in their mouth and biting down and gnashing. Just grinding on him. They're absolutely insane. That's the peak of the mother's hatred towards Jesus Christ. Actually, the peak was Calvary. But this is the same Jesus Christ living again through Stephen. The Holy Spirit speaking. They're gnashing on him. Guess what? This shows you how stupid the mother system is. All of those religious leaders who gnashed on Stephen with their teeth, they're right now gnashing their teeth in the flames of hell, burning in that fire, waiting the great white throne judgment, whereas Stephen went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where he's at right now. Who do you think won? Verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. All according to prophecy, he was coming back in wrath, but he actually came back in grace and peace. The opposite to judge and make war of Revelation 19. That's in the beginning part of the Romans lessons. Verse 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, look at this, and stopped their ears. Fingers in the ears. However they did it, they're blocking their ears like little kids in a store having a temper tantrum. I don't want to hear it. And this is after gnashing on him. What? They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Now, notice the ones who were gnashing on him. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. Obviously, some of them were gnashing on him with their teeth, but the crowd was so big, then the rest of them ran upon him with one accord. One accord, totally united. The mother will unite her little minions, those children of Satan, this false religious system, this mother system, will unite all of her children to get you. She won't want to hear what you're saying, and they will kill you. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Well, guess what? That sin was laid to their charge. When Jesus Christ prayed at Calvary, that was answered. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's why they had the second chance off in the beginning part of Acts. This did not happen. When Stephen said that, sorry, three strikes, you're out. They blasphemed the Father in the Old Testament. They blasphemed the Son. Now they just blasphemed the Holy Spirit in Stephen. Three strikes, you're out. Okay, now, Saul. Right now, Satan knows everything that's going on. The mother is geared and ready. Saul would have been a perfect, you might say, candidate as the Antichrist. He was half Jew and he was a Roman citizen. He was a Jew and a Gentile. And it would have been nothing for when Paul, if he was the Antichrist, if Saul of Tarsus would have become the Antichrist, okay, he would have been perfect chance for, even though he gets murdered, he dies, he's killed in the middle of the trib, it would have been nothing for Satan to put Judas Iscariot in the body of Saul of Tarsus. It would have been nothing. But of course, watch this now. That's a whole other subject, but watch this. Now in Acts chapter 8, read with me now. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And that is because the apostles were told to stay in Jerusalem. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation for him. Now, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. You better believe. Well, how could he just go into houses and haul people out? That will happen in this country, in America, one day. It will happen everywhere. It's happening all over with real believers, the few that are here. The mother will mix with the government. So don't worry about it. Don't hide behind the Constitution of the United States. You better hide behind your scriptures and hide in your scriptures, because even though they may haul you out of your home and kill you, they can't rip your Savior out of you. You got it? Now notice, up to this point, this is critical for you to understand. Satan, the adversary, and the mother knows what's happening. This is all planned by the adversary. Okay, now look in Acts chapter 8, though. Look at verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Notice how to identify false teachers of the mother. They'll be involved in sorcery. They will bewitch. They will trick people. And they will always say that they are some great one. They will act like they're great. They won't elevate the book. They'll want to go say they're something. And they do all these things to elevate themselves, including trying to get their own country called Probapticale. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Verse 11. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. You see the trickery used by the mother a long time. And some of you right now have been bewitched by heretics and tricked, because you get involved in all this other stuff other than the word of God. Praise the Lord that you're out of that. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and you're standing on the book of God. All right, now what happens? Go to Acts chapter 9. What happens in verse 1? And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ stood up in Acts 7, and all according to prophecy, he should have come back in just in wrath. And Paul here, which is Saul of Tarsus, was the chief of sinners. And this would have been a main target. Verse 4, and he fell to the earth. Verse 3 again, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, he didn't say I'm the Lord, he didn't say I'm Christ, he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, Paul. You're conscious of killing all those believers. And guess what? When he said, I am Jesus, Paul had the choice there to believe he was the Lord and to confess with his mouth. Let's see what Saul of Tarsus did. And he, trembling and astonished, said, first word out of his mouth, Lord! He confessed him as Lord, because that was the gospel of the day. That's why Paul tries to get the Jews in Romans chapter 10 to do the same thing, as they were diminishing away. Now look at this. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, mark it down. Pause the story big time. You better believe that when this happened, Satan, who was keenly watching this, says, hold the phone. Stop the presses. What's going on here? And the mother and the entire system of the mother comes to a grinding halt quickly. Everything just stops. Because what happened here with Saul of Tarsus is not foretold in the Old Testament. This was Satan's chief man here against this new movement to stamp it out. And Jesus Christ comes back in grace and saves him. What's going on? So the mother right here is thrown for a loop, because God Almighty is going to now usher in mystery truth, Truth that has to do with this age, and it had the princes of this world knew, 1 Corinthians 2 says, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Because this age today also has to do with Satan getting kicked out of heavenly places and then being cast down to the earth. And that was never a worry of Satan before. Go listen to that God Tricked Satan at Calvary video on our YouTube channel here. Go listen to it. But anyways, watch now in Acts 9 as the mother makes this transition. Look in verse 22. Now Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Now Saul of Tarsus is preaching that this is Christ, because he's going to be Paul the Apostle, named in Acts chapter 13. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. All that the mother could do is kill him. What's going on here? But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Notice that he escapes their clutches. Escape their clutches. Now, I want to show you. Look at verse. Now that he gets up there. Now watch something here that is something amazing in this passage. Let me find this verse here for you. Okay, about the churches. All right, now, notice here carefully. Read with me down in the passage. Now, Barnabas is taking him in verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. So then, of course, they take him. Now, watch this carefully in verse 30. Watch it very, very closely. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Now see verse 31. Remember now, the mother was at her peak here. Satan had just killed Christ. He had tried to stamp out all this stuff with the apostles, but they didn't know what to do. And the mother is like kind of like in disarray a little bit, even though she knew what was coming. But they had just stoned Stephen. And so Satan and the mother and this whole system was prepared for that last days to begin. When Peter stood up in Acts 2 and said, behold, these are the last days, you better believe he's prepared. This is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous turning point. Because up to this point, there's real big, no mystery of iniquity going on. This stuff was bold and in your face, this hatred towards Jesus Christ. Yes, there were some things involved. Some things are similar, the false doctrine and all that. And Christ warned them of that. But all of a sudden now, the chief of sinners gets saved. And the mother, Satan, is thrown for such a loop by this that he instantly stops his program of persecution. You remember chapter 8, verse 1? I'm sorry. Yeah, chapter 8, verse 1. No, I'm sorry. Chapter 8, look at verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. This great persecution is starting. Chapter 9, Paul is still doing it. He's Paul. He's Saul of Tarsus. He's doing it. He's leading it. But now he gets saved. And Satan, who knows the scriptures perfectly, says, what is going on here? And his program of dealing with this comes to a grinding instant halt. Because now look in verse 29. As Barnabas is describing what Saul of Tarsus had done, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, that Saul of Tarsus, who's the Apostle Paul, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Now watch verse 31 carefully. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Tremendous passage. You know why the churches had rest? You know why they then were edified? And you know why they then were comforted by the Holy Ghost? Because the mother was thrown for a loop. Had no clue that this was coming. So now Satan is regrouping here. Completely regrouping. And we're going to see, Lord willing, starting in the next lesson, what Satan did in the regrouping. Because as God now ushers in Through Saul of Tarsus, who he changes his name to Paul the Apostle. As God ushers in this new mystery age, this dispensation of his grace, which has to do with so many tremendous things. One of the things in the reclaiming of title deed of the heavenlies and the earth back unto God himself through the Israel on the earth and the church, the body of Christ, placed in those heavenly places. Satan starts to regroup. That is why the persecution stopped. The mother said, what is going on here? The mother said, what's going on? Because Satan said, what's going on here? And you're going to see now from this point forward and these lessons forward what the mother is doing today. It's the same hatred, and all of that foundation is there for you to understand. And when you see what the mother is doing today, you will be shocked, because I guarantee you, even as believers, you have been taken in by the mother. Okay.